forever. Dog.
She sees what no one else can. This week on the podcast, Lois Duncan's The Third Eye. Hello and welcome to another episode of Teen Creeps, the show. What am I doing? I was about to do a different...
We're about to geek out about real love and fake relationships?
Oh my God. Woo! Okay, listen up. You heard that woo. You recognized it. This is Teen Creeps, where we talk about YA pulp fiction. With me today is a very special guest co-host. You probably know because it's a low dunk book and you heard him speak already and you probably read the title and the description.
I bet they also just had a feeling.
Yeah, they're like, Patrick? Oops, like, I gave it away. No! Oh, no spoilies. Okay, well, you may know him from Nintendo Cartridge Society podcast and Same Day Shipping. Writer podcaster Patrick Ellers is here with me today.
Thank you for having me back.
You're so welcome.
To talk about Low Dunk.
We love talking about Low Dunk here.
Yeah, and like abstractly, I think we like Low Dunk, right?
Yeah.
Just not all of our books.
Not all of our books.
Not all the books hit.
This one. Let me read the paltry description, okay? Yeah. Ready? Because yeah, you're going to be like, what the fuck is this? All right. For the first time in her life, Karen's part of the popular crowd at school. Sorry, I thought that was a period. It's not. Okay. Then, when one of the neighborhood children disappears, Karen discovers that she can somehow, quote, see the missing child. Will she use her gift in this dangerous game of hide and seek?
Is she part of the popular crowd? Not really.
Not really. And also that aspect of the book is like a page long.
There's like none of it. So what all it really entails is that she's dating this guy who's like the hot shit.
Yeah.
And
Tim.
Tim, that's right. And Tim knows everyone.
Yeah.
And so everyone is like incorporating Karen into their shit because they have to.
Yeah.
Because
she's dating him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And really, when I say their shit, it's just decorating for prom.
Decorating for prom. And that's it. And there's like, and by the time prom rolls around, they're already on the outs. So it's like not even really.
It's a non-issue. They have a fight in the first fucking chapter.
Yeah.
And then that's it.
And like, then that's it.
And then the whole thing is just like, he's there, but who gives a shit about him?
Yeah.
Which like, I agree. Who gives a shit about this guy?
He's very boring. He's not as interesting as the adult cop.
Yeah. Yeah. This is a real tough one. Officer Rob Wilson? I think it's Wilson.
Is it Wilson?
Yeah, I think so.
I was worried about him.
Yeah, because he's a cop.
He's a cop.
He's an older man.
He's older.
I don't know how much older. He's probably like 25 or something.
Okay, but she's
in
high
school. Yes.
Therein is the problem.
Yeah.
I think if you are a cop, A, don't be, but B, don't.
Yeah, A, number one, and really let's lean on that
one.
Yeah,
let's lean on that one.
Don't be a cop.
But I think that him being a cop is not the worst problem about him dating her.
Yes.
The worst problem about him dating her is that he is an adult man.
Yes.
And she's in high school.
Uh-huh.
And he doesn't even like, I'll wait for you. Like, he is like, let's go on a camping trip.
Yeah, let's snuggle in sleeping bags right now.
I was disgusted.
So are you still seeing that guy? I'm going to plant a kiss on you.
Ew. When he said that, I was like, get away from her.
No, you bad man.
You're a bad man. Like, okay, no. Can I tell you moments that I had worries?
Yeah.
Okay, moment number one. When she's like, he looks so young. I was like, girl, don't.
Don't. He doesn't look that young.
He doesn't look that young. He's a haggard ass cop in the 70s. Like, he looks like dog shit.
Well, 84.
Oh, 84. I'm so sorry.
Also, that I think this book is notable for that, if nothing else.
Yeah.
This is the latest Low Dunk book we've read.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, barring Who Killed My Daughter.
Right. Yeah, because most of them are from the 70s.
Most
late
of them
70s.
Are from the 70s. And like Debutante Hill was from the
60s.
Was it 60s or was it really late 50s?
Maybe even earlier, yeah.
Yeah. So this is like this is just like on the later side.
Right, right. So this is the 80s, uh-huh. 84.
84. Her daughter dies 5 years later.
I know. And this book is dedicated to the daughter. Sad.
Yeah.
Sad.
Sorry, we were doing red flags for Officer Robbie Wilson.
Right, Officer Robbie Wilson. So number one, her thinking he looks young.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, when he's like, let's drive around together.
Yeah.
And then he's like,
you don't mind crossing state lines, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He's like, let's go to like Alabama or whatever. And then he's like, let's stop to eat somewhere. And she says, like, I forget what she says, but then he goes, as far as I can tell, I'm just taking a pretty girl out to get a bite to eat. And I was like, stop. Stop.
Don't trust this man. Also, okay.
Yeah.
This whole book feels like it's a prequel series to like The Mentalist or like any kind of cop psychic show.
Yeah, sure,
right?
Yeah.
Because that's what this is Officer Wilson had a psychic who was a friend slash like his English teacher in high school.
Right.
And he was like, that's the way to do it. That's the way to solve crime is for me to be a cop and for there to be a psychic around me.
Yes.
That's how I'll be better than my fancy lawyer brother.
Right.
Is if I'm in a team up of a psychic and a cop. So yes. He finds this psychic who's 18 years old and is like, this is my fucking psychic.
Yes. I'm going to really show my brother.
Yeah. It's if you look at this as his story.
Yeah.
It becomes like kind of the grossest thing ever, right?
Yeah,
that he finds a psychic, a teenage psychic. And that is like, I'm going to use this teenage psychic to help me save white babies.
Yeah.
Which,
Oh, wow. That part I was
in
like.
In the fucking book.
Yeah. In the book, they're like, these mixed race babies are not desirable.
They're not desirable.
So
we get it. I get why they kidnap white. This is what they're saying.
This is what gives her empathy for the babies is that they're white. Because she's like, well, why would they want to steal babies? Can't they just adopt them? And he's like, young woman.
You can only really adopt mongrels and cripples.
Yes.
Basically, what he says.
And she says, okay, I understand now. And she's like, right, not like Gerber babies. And I was like, what? It was off. I was like, as a formerly mixed race baby, I felt really offended.
As a former baby, yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that part just disgusting. But if that, okay, so that is his journey,
right?
Is that he finds a teenage psychic. Mm-hmm. To be a sidekick slash side piece. No, I guess the end of the book implies that they're going to have a child together.
Yep.
Yeah.
They're going to get married. She can't wait.
She cannot wait.
She can't wait to birth his babies.
Well, first of all, she can't wait to birth any babies. She's
baby obsessed.
Baby crazy.
She's so baby crazy. And, you know, I mean, whatever, to each their own.
This is gross,
18,
right? This is too much.
I was not, couldn't relate.
No.
Couldn't relate.
No.
In what, I don't know. It's fine.
Did you ever babysit? Were you ever a babysitter?
No, but I worked at a preschool.
Okay.
And my age group was age 3 to 5.
Okay.
And they're fun at that point.
Yeah, sure.
That being said, I was not, like, I don't know, when I was 18, I wasn't thinking about like, oh my gosh, I can't wait to like have a billion babies.
Well, and she never expresses it like that necessarily, that she wants to have babies.
But she wants to be around them.
She wants to be around them all the goddamn time.
Yeah. 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 She's also, okay, so the way that she first learns she's psychic.
Yeah.
Is she's like, I'm babysitting this baby and also a little boy.
Right.
And
not really paying attention to the little boy. He's running around outside. Well, this is, again, it's 1984.
Yeah, latchkey children.
They're just running around the neighborhood, Stranger Things style, leaving bikes in the front yard.
Yeah, kids on bikes.
Yeah, exactly.
Tales
what
from
their
the
experience.
Loop.
That's right.
Yeah.
So yeah, she's not paying attention to Bobby.
Who cares?
Who cares?
He's missing and then found in an instant, and he's gone from the book.
Right. Yes. He well, and this is when we get to bring Tim back too,
right?
Tim stops by while she's babysitting and is like, we should make out.
Remember when he says, I'm not gonna rape you?
Does he say, I'm not gonna rape you?
He's like, I'm not trying to rape you, Jesus.
So I did read the updated version of the book, so I don't believe he said, I'm not gonna rape you.
So he makes moves on her,
yeah,
and she's like, please, like, let's not, because like, the kids are here. And he's like, Jesus, I'm not trying to rape you or something. What, a guy just wants a kiss and he can't get one from his girlfriend?
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, not that language, not in the updated version.
Wow.
Smart. That's smart. That's a smart fix.
It's interesting that they kept the whole mixed race baby thing.
I thought the same too. I was reading, and you know, there are various moments where, you know, just absurdly she turns off her cell phone, you know.
Really?
Well, because she has to have a cell phone, because that's what most of the updates to Lodunk mm-hmm. books fix is the absence of cell phones. But yeah, all the time it's like, you know, when she calls from like the coffee shop near the end of the book, they still go to the coffee shop kind of for no reason. And she makes the call outside on her cell phone.
Interesting.
And then every time she has a conversation with her mom, she then ends it by turning off her phone. Because she has to.
Just set it in the 80s.
Just set it in the fucking 80s.
Because that in the version I read, yeah, she's at the phone at the coffee shop.
Right. Which makes perfect sense.
Yeah. Why not?
Needs no updating.
Fine. Yeah.
It's nonsense that she would have a cell phone on her at all. Like the mm-hmm. whole dynamic of the story changes if she can always be in touch with her parents.
Plus it would be really more on brand maybe if like she had her cell phone and then the cop was like, you should not bring it.
They can track you on those things.
So you should leave it at your house.
Also, I don't want you to have any photographic evidence of what I'm about to do.
Yeah, because I'm doing this job outside of my jurisdiction and I've actively been kicked off of this case.
Red flags, red flags, red flags.
Yeah.
Sorry, Tim stops by, is not going to rape her. And that's when little Bobby or whatever climbs into the trunk playing hide and go seek. And then like that's it. That's the she thinks the kid has disappeared. It's because he's piss drenched and passed out.
Dude, I could not believe he was like covered in piss.
Covered in piss. Mentioned the smell of urine multiple times.
So many times. But I mean, in the update, they added more times.
You only had it like two or three times. Yeah, in mine, it was like every page.
Yeah.
Like even when we were no longer talking about Bobby, she thought back to when he smelled like piss.
She's just like, urine, urine, urine.
Urine, 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 little piss boy.
Little piss boy. And he was a little piss boy that was almost dead from asphyxiation.
That's
and
right.
Piss.
Right.
He was dead from piss.
How much piss do you think you could breathe before you died?
You could breathe?
Yeah.
Like the smell like, of or
like,
or...
like vaporized piss.
I don't think you would die. I think it would just be your smelling piss. I think the amount of piss you could smell, quote, yeah, smell, right? Or breathe. Yeah. Smell or breathe in?
I said breathe.
Right. So the amount of piss you could breathe is probably like one breath. Like it's like water, right?
Yeah, you could drown in piss.
Of course you can drown in piss. It's liquid. You can drown in any liquid. You could drown in Diet Coke.
Yeah, I don't,
But, okay, vaporized piss.
How much vaporized piss?
So this is like a sauna of piss?
Yeah, that's right.
Is it healthy
piss? They've got
that
little like ladle. What do you mean?
Like
you're, it's a dehydrated man.
Oh, no.
It's dark.
It's a dehydrated man.
How long could you be in the piss sauna before you died?
2 seconds.
Yeah.
Oh, before I died?
Oh, yeah. No,
I would probably just die in a sauna. I don't do well in the heat.
You don't do well in a sauna?
I love a sauna. I have a very fast heartbeat. Mm-hmm. So when it's hot, it goes way too fast and I can get sick easily. So I get heat stroke very easily.
Mm.
So they would be like, cause of death, what is it? Heat stroke or piss inhalation? Found record amounts of piss in this person's lungs.
Well, everyone knows how much piss you can breathe before you die.
I don't know. Like, well, is there a difference between, okay, like breathing so much vapors that you get fluid in your lungs.
Right.
Versus breathing so much piss vapors.
Well, I guess like
fluid.
The real question is like, what is there in piss that is like actively bad for you? Because you can drink your own piss.
But I think only like 3 times from my experience. But right, like, isn't
what
it like-
What do you mean only 3? Oh, I see.
Like in a row.
Right.
Like,
that's the same. If you drink the piss it out.
Yeah.
Drink it. That's time number two.
Time number two.
Drink
piss
it out. Right.
Because it gets like more concentrated.
Is it thicker, do you think?
Sick. Do you know how many people have probably turned off the episode? They're like, this is nasty.
But so this little boy drank his piss 3 times.
Yeah, that's why he's almost dead. And then she has like a psychic vision where she's like, oh my God, I smell piss. I see darkness. Truly.
Mostly I smell piss.
Yeah. You guys, like, we're not joking actually about the piss thing. Like, she's really into the piss. Yeah. Obsessed.
Right.
And she's like, oh my God.
I know he's in a box.
He's in a box.
And then can see the outside of the car.
And she's like, oh, it's Tim's car.
It's a green Honda. Mm-hmm. I wonder if any of this was changed in the update.
It's a green Honda in this
okay,
one.
Okay, green Honda. Does it have a bumper sticker?
Yeah.
Does the bumper sticker say, I love jocks or something like that? Have you hugged a jock today or something
no,
like that?
No, actually, I don't actually remember that.
There's a bumper sticker on his car that says something about jocks.
Cool.
Which I think is the only indication we have that he's an athletic person at all.
Yeah.
I mean, he's popular, so I suppose we can assume
that he does like football or something.
Yeah, that's probably what
sure,
it is.
Okay.
But she sees all of that and is like, oh, he's in the car and Tim just happens to be walking up at the time. She's called the police.
Right.
You know, the whole neighborhood is freaking out about where's this Bobby kid.
Right.
When Tim goes back to like pick her up for their date, she's like, oh, this motherfucker's got the kid in his trunk.
For a second, I was like, is Tim a chimo?
I think.
But he wasn't.
See, it would be so much more interesting if like that was the case or if they were. I at every step, I wanted this book to be darker.
Yeah, me too.
And worse. Like, yeah. It was so tame. And like the racism behind like, oh, yeah, these are white babies that they're going to sell into adoption.
I was like, no, they should have been selling them
into sexual slavery.
Okay. Sexual slavery or meat.
You went to meat.
Right. Right. One of the two, though, right?
Yeah. Or both.
Yeah. Okay.
You can determine who's
the baby choose. So they put like four objects in front of the baby.
Yeah, that's
and then,
right.
Like, whatever
they let the
grabs.
Baby choose. Like, oh, I guess this baby's getting adopted. Yeah. This one's being sold into sexual slavery.
Yeah. And then this one's being meat.
What are those objects? I wonder.
Okay. One is a fork, obviously.
Right. Your meat.
Okay.
Next one is a photograph of a lamp.
Okay. Adopted?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. Ooh, I'm scared about the object for...
Me too. Let's not do it.
Let's not do it. Let's not do it. Tweet us. What do you think the object is?
Bail on the bit.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe it's just like a Valentine's...
Like a fleshlight? They just like put a fleshlight in front of a baby? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, they just put a fleshlight there. And then there's like a miss. Oh my God. How fucked up is this though? Okay.
Okay.
They put, there's a fourth object.
This is a good episode.
Yeah. If there's a fourth object and if they pick the fourth object, they can be free.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
So the fourth object is like.
The fourth object has to be the scariest one though.
Yeah. Well, it's because it's rigged.
It's a loaded gun.
Yeah. Oh wait, the object is a loaded gun. Yeah, not just the choice.
No, okay, the object.
So, okay, right. The baby gets the loaded gun and then it plays Russian roulette. And if it survives,
there we go.
Then it gets to be free.
Yeah.
Okay, great.
Not what this book actually is though, sadly.
No, it's just like they get adopted.
Yeah.
That I was annoyed by. I mean, I guess there's one child, but then that's the other thing, right? The little girl who's dead.
Yes.
Not to say that the only
little girl who dies.
Right.
Right.
Not to say that like the death of a child isn't sad, because it is, but it was so like tame. It was like, oh, she was just like swimming and then drowned.
Yeah, that there's no element of like CSI to this.
No, and there's no danger really.
Yeah.
Because she's off with this fucking cop all day. Nothing really scary happens to them. I mean, I guess she gets captured, but even her capture sucks.
Yeah, her capture is also super funny.
Yeah,
we
should. Funny.
Well, okay. First, I want to stay on.
Yes.
Is it Carla, the little girl who died?
Yes. Yeah.
Because Officer Wilson was the one who responded to the call about Bobby. So you know later he's like, this bitch is psychic. And so he picks her up later and is like, here, we're gonna do. Here's another missing child. Mm-hmm. You're gonna help me find Carla. And they go to Carla's mother's house. She's Latina of some kind. This is the only child that dies.
I know. Isn't that fucked?
It's not a fucking white kid. Yeah.
Yeah. It's fucked.
And so like, you know, it's a little bit like wallowing in the tragedy of like, where is this kid? Deadbeat dad.
That's the other thing that was bullshit to me is that the one child who is a child of color in this story, A, is like broken home. Dad's a deadbeat. Dad, like...
A drifter, they called him.
A drifter.
Not updated, by the way. Drifter.
Yeah, drifter. Very modern. And on top of that, she's the only one who dies.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I do not like that.
It sucks.
Yeah.
So they like follow, you know, the psychic trail to where she slipped in the river and died.
Mm-hmm.
And that's like their experience together and is what makes, Karen be like, I can't do these psychic things with you because it's too like emotionally difficult to experience the death of a child.
Right.
Which like, I guess I get that.
I guess I get it. But I was also just annoyed with her that like, and I get, we come to learn why mom is so annoying throughout the entire fucking book.
Mm-hmm.
And it's because her entire life is a fucking lie.
Yeah. Cause her mom is psychic too.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like that there's like this origin story that gets floated early on that Karen had a vision of like a lost little boy in their old neighborhood at their old house. And when they found the little boy exactly where she said that he was going to be under the driveway, that like they became ostracized. And people were like, actually, it's never clear to me what the source of the ostracization is. Is it because they think that they had something to do with why the kid was there?
No, just that it was too weird.
Who would fucking think that?
Who would think that?
Who would think that?
Yeah, I know.
We don't live in like X-Men comics. Like,
yeah, I know. Yeah.
Anyway, so that's like the origin story that the mother floats. Mm-hmm. But in reality, it was her psychic vision that saw the little kid mm-hmm. under the driveway.
Yeah.
And so she can see that her daughter is having these psychic visions and is like, no, you can't be seen as weird.
Yeah. And she keeps bugging her to like, she's like, why don't you go to prom and blah, 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 and all this stuff, just like I did with all my many friends and prom and this and that.
Right. She's like, I was so popular.
She's like, I wore a red dress and everybody loved it. And I was like, sounds fake, mom.
Yeah. Because it was.
Yeah, it was. But anyway, so she, what's her main character's name again?
Karen Connors.
Karen Connors. So Karen.
Not related to John Connor.
Right.
Or Sarah Connor.
Right.
Much less cool than that.
Yeah. Yeah. So I was really annoyed by her because she, well, for many reasons, she's quite dumb. But on top of it, I was annoyed because, I don't know. I'm sorry. If you are psychic, you have to use that.
Yeah, you owe the world.
I'm sorry.
Also, okay, we haven't even gotten to like the thing that she's like, that she is basically a witness for, the kidnapping of all these kids from the daycare. But she loves those kids.
I know.
She loves the kids that were kidnapped.
Yeah.
And then is like, I don't want to help them.
Yeah.
I have this supernatural ability to help them, but I won't.
Yeah.
This is a fucking hero that refuses the call to adventure.
Yeah.
For 70% of the book.
Yeah.
It's infuriating.
It's so infuriating. She doesn't, she refuses to do anything.
Yeah.
And so she just lives her life and we have to be there with her while she's like at school and then she goes to the prom and then like, I'm like, I don't
shit
care.
She doesn't care about either.
I know. She's not interested in this.
Yeah.
And then, and it's like mostly her, like there are so many pages of her dodging calls.
Yes.
So fucking boring. I'm like, why are we even dealing with this?
Well, and you know, she'll answer a call and then she's got to turn off her cell phone.
Yeah.
Fucking pointless.
Yeah. Yeah. And then her dad is like
super dud.
Such a dud.
Yeah.
And he's like, he just doesn't believe in the psychic shit. And that relationship too, I was like, mom and dad have a fucked relationship.
Yes. So there's a part at the end of the book where the mom is describing how mm-hmm. they got together and she like dances around their ages.
Oh no, she's clear in this book.
How old is she when they meet?
18.
Wait. The mom was 18?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that is left out of the update.
Because the dad is 30.
The dad is 30.
Yeah.
And that much is clear in both the update and the original version.
Yeah.
That the dad is 30 and has been working on like her dad's taxes or something.
Yeah.
Interesting. I did not realize. So wait, are we to assume that the same age gap is true of Officer Wilson? Is he also 30?
Oh, God. So I am not 30, but I'm close to 30.
Okay.
We'll say. I'm 33.
Uh-huh.
So let's just up it 3 years, right? So what is it? 18, 19, 20, 21.
Could you date a 21-year-old?
No.
No.
No. No, I'm sorry. I don't want to be like mean to any 21-year-olds who want to get it from me right now, but like, dude, I can't.
No, it's bad. That's bad.
That's bad. I mean, I just think it's like, it's such a different stage of life for me.
Totally.
Because that's the other thing is like, that's so different between 30 and 40,
mm-hmm.
40 and 50, so on and so forth.
But the difference between 33 and 21.
Yeah.
That's, you're a different animal.
Yeah.
You want different things.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So I think we have to assume now that the reason the mother brought it up is because she, that they live parallel lives.
Yeah. She's like, look, but she's saying that we live parallel lives, but there is something different, or at least that's what Hannah, or what's her name?
Karen.
That's what Karen's saying, because she's like, but the, what is happening outside? Do you hear this?
There's
like,
a
weird
beep.
Little beep.
There's like a beep. It's like a horn, like a horn small. Honk, but it is short. Yeah. Yes. And it has stopped now that we've started talking about it. Annoying. Maybe it'll start again.
Hopefully. Fingers crossed. No, nope,
there,
there
it is. There it was again.
There it was. What were we saying?
We were saying
because Karen's like, yeah, but like the guy that is gonna be with me is gonna be accepting of my gift. And the mom's like, oh. Because it's not the case for her.
No. Mom's
She's really unhappy.
It's a bad relationship.
Bad relationship.
And reveal the only relationship she's ever had, the only relationship she's ever been in. She's never had friends before.
Yeah.
Because she's too weird.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Because, right, her reveal to Karen that the first guy she ever kissed was her dad.
First guy she ever kissed.
Yeah. Fuck that shit, dude.
Fuck it.
I mean,
Kiss some other people.
Look, I know that I'm like currently in a hoe phase. And so like,
and it's great for you and it's working so well. And I'm so proud of you.
Thank you so much. It actually is lovely. But so maybe I'm just like so actively repulsed by the idea of like literally only having kissed one person in
only
your
having
whole
kissed,
life.
Kissed.
Not
we're
even
not, we're not talking about fooking. Yeah. We're talking about kissing.
Kissing. And the fact that like, literally the only person you've ever kissed is your freaking husbo? No way.
So you could have this like child that you were destined to have together.
Because that's the only thing she cared about was the child. Like that too is like so like breedery to me and like weird.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. This book is too, this is a low dunk that does not present itself as sad, but is one of the saddest low dunks
that
we've read.
It's so sad because the idea of this main character just continuing to live a very boring life, which is a feat to behold for a psychic
yes,
police
yes.
duo, also mixing business and pleasure, right? Like they're dating, but then they're also like
they should save that shit for season 3 of the series when we finally get there. Yeah.
Right. But they're starting out dating. I was so repulsed with how he was courting her as well. Cause he was like isolating her and then being like, I'm going to hold your hand. And I was like, what?
I mean, the kiss goodnight is what got me.
Disgusting.
They're camping in the middle of the fucking deserts of Colorado.
Yeah.
And just it's sleeping bags on the goddamn ground. Someone's gonna get stung by a scorpion. I just know it.
Yeah.
and he's like, Are you still seeing that guy? And she's like, no.
Ew.
No, not since prom.
Ew, and the fact that her answer is
not since prom. Like that should be a sign for him. That right. He's like, oh yeah, that's right.
Oh, right.
Prom. Shit.
Oh, right.
Instead, he says, would it be all right if I kissed you goodnight?
Yeah. But then he's a pussy ass bitch and kisses her on the cheek.
Yeah. Like. Yeah. I mean, if you're going to go for it, like go for it. Right.
If you're going to go for it. Go for it.
And then they hold hands all night.
Ew.
I know we actually have talked about this scene already, but like,
I know, but
it's so upsetting.
So then he's like, but then what happens after this part too? I was like annoyed where she's like, cause he's like, oh, my friend Chris, like you can use my friend Chris's sleeping bag. And she's like, Chris, is that a boy or a girl? And then she's like, I could hear the smile in his voice when he said that it was a boy. I was
Christopher.
Like, okay. I hate that.
I hate it.
I hated it so much.
And then that they get together. That like,
ew.
We don't see them like together, but we know that she's going to have a blue-eyed
baby. Well,
he
kisses her on the mouth eventually.
Oh.
Where does he kiss her on the mouth? Is it before or after they get captured?
Well, they don't spend very long being captured, so it's probably right before.
Yeah. Yeah.
She gets captured twice in this, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, she gets captured once.
We gotta talk about
because that shit too. I was like, you're such an idiot. I don't want to victim blame.
But
she's
everyone
such an
in the
idiot.
Book does too. Yeah. Everyone blames her in the
That's
book.
True.
He blames her and her mother blames her.
That so wild. I started to blame her, and then the way that they were blaming her, I was like, I should stand up for her. Because it was like
Well, I think it's fine to blame her as a character in a book.
Sure.
Right?
Because someone wrote her.
As two people talking about her. But as like a human being who is the scene is thus, right?
Okay.
She is walking to work. She works at this daycare where there's a whole baby room with like a dozen fucking babies.
So many babies.
And she doesn't have enough help there and whatever.
And she's working with this like terrible 15-year-old girl who like
named Dee
Dee. Dee hates working there. Makes it very obvious she hates working there.
Yes.
She doesn't want to be working there. And I also thought it was really annoying how Karen was like so holier than thou about how Dee Dee didn't want to work there.
She was holier than thou about everyone who came in to the daycare, because Matthew, the like adorable toddler.
Right, the white baby.
The adorable white baby. His mother comes in and she's like, oh, he's a handful, whatever. And there's, I pulled it. There's, she has a thing where it's like, she's judging her about her views on motherhood or something like that.
Yeah.
Hold on, let me find it. Okay. She says she was so irritated by the woman's attitude towards motherhood that it didn't occur to her in the moment to analyze the content of their conversation. They were talking about the laundry truck out front.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, she was so irritated by the woman's attitude towards motherhood.
Yeah, because the woman said, so basically she is a law student who has a tiny baby.
Mm-hmm.
And her husband's also a law student.
Well, he's a lawyer, right?
At this point, is he a lawyer?
Yeah, because
That's his brother.
That's his brother, yeah.
Okay. So she's in law school. That's right. Her husband is a lawyer.
Mm-hmm.
And she's just... And basically what she says is, she's like holding this baby. It's her baby. And she's like loving the baby. And she's like, you know, oh God, I'm so tired. I guess it would have been easier to like have him later. But you know, he's in my life now. That's what she says.
Yeah.
And fucking Karen is like...
irritated about her views on motherhood.
Like, shut up. She's such a fucking
up.
Trad wife. Like, get out of here.
Yes.
She just wants to be a trad wife to this fucking cop. Like, gag me with a fucking spoon.
Yeah, it sucks.
It sucks.
So she works.
Right. So
she works at this fucking daycare.
Yeah.
And she's heading to work one morning and it's raining.
Mm.
And she has wrapped herself in this like plastic headscarf thing.
Oh yeah, I did not understand what that was, but okay.
I did not. I was just like, okay, fine.
I was like, sure.
Sure, that's real. I'll buy it.
Yeah. You need it later for the thing you want to do.
Yes.
So fine.
So it's fine. She's walking to work, it's raining. Mm. Does she not have a car or something, or was it explained away?
I don't know. She's walking.
She's walking. And a car pulls up next to her. That's like, I'm sorry, can you direct me to the exact same place that you're going?
Yeah.
And it's six blocks away.
Yeah.
Six blocks. Yeah. She's already walking. She's already wet.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, I'll get in the car and give you directions. Fucking idiot.
Idiot.
And then, of course, gets kidnapped.
Yeah. Because guess what? That person's not going to work there.
No.
They want to kidnap the white babies.
And this is a redheaded woman who has dyed her hair for some reason.
to look like
Karen.
Karen, who's blonde.
Right.
But so she captures her, puts her into this like motel.
No, it's an apartment.
Oh,
building,
apartment.
Right?
Like, like a shady apartment thing.
Yeah, that's right.
That's been paid ahead of time.
Paid two months ahead of time.
So that no one will come knocking. And then this was the other part that like kind of bothered me. Not that I like wanted her to be killed, but like the fact that like these baby kidnappers, their plan was just to like tie her up and leave her there and she would die after like of starvation or something.
Yeah, why don't they kill her?
Because they should just kill her.
They don't have a problem later shooting a cop later.
I know. Or buying baby or stealing babies.
Right. I mean, yeah, obviously the original crime is very bad.
Yeah. So then
kidnapping a dozen white babies. Kelly.
Kidnapping a dozen white babies. So then they just like leave her. She's tied up.
Mm-hmm.
She like tries to bang her foot against the stove. No one can hear it. And then she's like, oh my God, my little headscarf, my plastic headscarf is on the stove. I'm going to turn on the stove. She does. Fire alarm goes off. People come and help her, and then she is saved.
Yeah, and that's all like presumably, because in classic Lodunk fashion, like the fire starts and then we cut away and like then we're at the resolution.
Lodunk really likes to skip exciting action.
Action of any kind.
Yeah.
We don't see, there's a point later where Officer Wilson battles a Doberman.
I forgot about that.
Blasts its fucking head off with his gun.
Yeah.
And gets shot in the shoulder off screen.
We
don't see it.
We don't even hear it. She's just like, arrives and is like, oh, because, okay, so, so she gets.
I'm sorry for skipping around.
No. So then she like gets free, and then she and him go on this like across state lines adventure. They go camping, they hold hands, blah, blah, blah.
Well, wait, do we want to go back and hit the English teacher?
Oh, what happens with the English teacher?
This is the other psychic in.
Oh, yes.
In Officer Wilson's life.
Yeah, let's do that.
So this.
Forgot about that person.
This. Whatever. Summers, maybe, is her name. So this the psychic that had been working a similar case in Dallas had been shot. And so she's in the hospital. Officer Wilson takes Karen to go see her and like meet her and be like, I guess potentially modeling like, here's the career path you could have as a psychic who wants to work with cops. And although like, what a bad fucking move. This woman was shot because she was stupid.
So don't bring a new 18-year-old psychic into this thing.
That's right.
She's going to get hurt as well. Yeah.
He introduces them and they're talking for a little while. He's like, oh yeah, she was my 10th grade English teacher. And there's a moment where Karen is like, you never told me she was your teacher.
The fact that she was shocked, but she was like, I didn't know psychics could be teachers.
It's
what are you talking about?
She's the most, I don't know what's going on in this big crazy world.
Yeah. She's very stupid.
I don't like this character.
I hate this character.
Karen's a bad character.
She's very annoying and stupid and inactive and passive.
Yes.
So she's like shocked about this teacher thing. And this is the other thing. I don't think anything really happened in that conversation.
No.
That made it so that she would agree to all of a sudden be his psychic friend.
No. Well, and she's still like, she's resistant to like, cause then she goes home and like dodges calls from the guy again.
Yeah.
And it's not until she's like out on the road with him already, still not like agreeing to like help use her psychic powers, that she like has another vision. And it is like, I looked to see my progress through the book 70% of the way through the book before she's like, all right, let's do this. 70%.
That's unreal.
It's unreal. Which makes me think that it is Rob Wilson's story.
Yeah.
That he needed to find a psychic friend, teen, sorry.
A psychic teen.
So that he could, because it turns out Matthew, this charming toddler, charming baby, is his nephew.
Right.
Which is another thing that like it's dropped at the end of a chapter, like it's some startling reveal.
Yeah. I felt like, nothing.
Who gives a shit?
I was like, okay.
Oh, all right.
It seemed very.
Your teacher? She was your teacher?
He's your nephew?
Oh my God.
So then she's like, I guess I have to help you. So then they like go and they hold hands and he kisses her head and then he kisses her lips and she's like, yay, I'm dating an adult.
Who we now realize is probably 30 years old.
Who's 30 years old.
Yeah, I guess he did some law school, right?
Yeah.
Did some college.
Okay, so that's 2 years.
Right.
So, and then police academy is what, 6 days?
I think it's got to be a couple
is
months.
A year?
I have no idea, actually.
Okay, let's say it's a year.
I worked with a guy who stopped doing the job that he was doing so that he could go into the police academy. And so I think, I don't know. I think it's less than a year.
I'm looking it up.
All right.
This is not helping me. It just says 888 hour.
What did you ask?
How long is police academy? Let's see.
That just totally
up. 19 weeks?
13 to 19 weeks.
Okay. Can last up to 6 months.
I feel like cops should. I feel like that's too short.
It's way too short. Way too short. Okay, so let's say
because lawyers have to go to school for fucking ever.
3 years after, undergrad.
He didn't finish undergrad.
No. Because he was like, I think he just started undergrad too.
I think.
Because he was like, I'd have to go back to school. No, but then he goes, it would take another 4 years before I'm done. So he probably was in his third year of college.
Okay, 21.
Right, because that's when he was deciding to apply to law school.
Great point.
So that would make sense. So he's 21.
maybe 22.
And then now at this point, probably 22. That's not as bad.
I think he's 30. I think he took six gap years and is just 30.
Yeah, okay. So he's 30, flirty and thriving. And he's
with an 18-year-old
teen psychic. Teen psychic girlfriend.
Right.
A teenage mutant ninja psychic.
So they, they're on their interstate adventure.
Yes.
Following her clues that she sees when she has her visions.
Yes.
But really the only way that they're able to use her visions is that she knocks over a like postcard stand at one of the places they stop. And it's the coincidence of all coincidences.
Yeah.
That the postcard has the exact same rock formation that she saw in her vision.
Yeah, because she's about to give up, or they have given up at this point.
Yeah, that's right.
Because she's like, oh my God.
They're just going to eat their big juicy burgers and drink their big juicy Cokes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And like, because she's like, ugh, it has pink rocks, the place. And he's like, I don't know where that is.
How am I going to find where pink rocks are?
Yeah. So then she, and then this is the other part too, which I thought was like a useless waste of pages. Where she calls home and she's like, Mom, I'm coming home. And Mom's like, you better get home right now. And she's like, I am.
Well, it's a useless waste of pages until you realize that they only succeed in the end because the mother is using her psychic abilities.
Yes, yes, yes. Yeah. Okay, actually, you're right. Never mind. I forgot.
But even still, like,
yeah,
that's so, I mean, we'll get there when we get there, I think.
Yeah.
The resolution there is so unsatisfying.
Yes.
So they find their way to, they're like close, right?
Right.
And Karen's having the vision of like, oh, she can see where they're keeping the babies. She can also see the office in Denver. I guess she's having split visions where she sees two different places.
She also has been constantly seeing visions of this little blonde girl facing away from her that she feels the need to protect and she loves her.
Yes.
Dot, dot, dot. Just like keep that in your mind. But she's having that vision as well.
So the visions become stronger as they get closer.
Yeah.
And she's like, we got to turn off the main road here. And they start doing this like sidewindy like thing back and forth so they can get up to this cabin. And at this point, I'm having Ransom flashbacks.
Yes.
Because that was also like up in the snowy mountains.
Yes.
Switchback roads and with kidnapping.
Yeah.
That was a better book than this, right?
It was a better book. Yeah.
So they're like, okay, they can see the house. And they're like, okay, so we should just call in for backup. And he's like, I can't call in for backup. I've crossed state lines. I'm not on this case anymore.
Yeah.
I haven't been to work in a couple of days because I've been doing this with you. I probably don't have a job anymore. So he's like, well, okay, if I can like sneak up there and actually see the babies, and then we can go and report that to the cops, and then they'll come in and solve the problem for us. But he never gets to because there's a dog. There's a guard dog.
So we learn earlier when he goes to
To Carla's mom's house.
To Carla's mom's house. He and Karen, and there's like a puppy there, and he's like, "Fuck!"
He is so mad about. What tell you chain this fucking dog he's up? Like,
can you get him inside in the tool shed?
Yeah,
and
that's right. The tool shed.
So they have to lock the dog into the tool shed because he's too much of a pussy ass bitch.
Yeah, well, because he's a cop, which means that he's got no backbone.
Right.
And any sign of danger, he's just going to shoot.
Yeah. And he wants to fuck an 18-year-old.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
So it's intimated at the beginning that he's afraid of dogs. Not intimated. It's very clearly said.
And specifically Dobermans.
Specifically Dobermans, because later he's like, I bet you thought it was pretty silly that I got so scared of that little puppy. And
well, let me tell you that guy, I've got real reasons to be scared of any dog.
And she's like, I wasn't asking because I have no thoughts. And he's like, well.
Well, I was mauled by a Doberman when I was a little kid.
She's like, wow, that's dog, so deep.
Bit off my dick.
She's like, wow, you have so much trauma. I like that. And he's like, okay. And then he encounters a Doberman.
Let me ask you about Dobermans.
Yeah.
Do you have any experience with Doberman pinchers?
I do have experience with them. My uncle had one named Princeton, and he was really cute, and I really liked him a lot.
He was a good, fun, friendly dog?
Yeah, he was really sweet.
I lived next door to two Dobermans.
Oh my God!
The family next door to my house growing up.
Careful, you're gonna get doxxed.
They had two Dobermans.
Okay, were they nice or mean?
They were mean. They were scary. Mean dogs, and they never had them like they didn't have a fence on their yard.
Ooh, scary.
So the dogs like kind of roamed around.
That's scary.
And they eventually supplemented the dog population there with a Rottweiler.
Also guard dog-ish.
A pit bull.
Mm-hmm.
And a mix between that Rottweiler and that pit bull.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. They didn't have their dogs fixed?
No.
That's the other thing, because they're more aggressive dogs when they're not neutered or spayed.
So these were all aggressive dogs, and I was scared of all of them.
Yeah.
So when...
That's so funny, because my neighbor had a Rottweiler named Honey Bear, and she was the sweetest, and I got to take care of her a lot. I liked her a lot.
I mean, I like, generally speaking, I like Rottweilers. I'm not scared of dogs. No. I am not this pussy-ass cop bitch.
Yeah, you're not this pussy cuck bitch. Simp piece of shit.
But, you know, I did have many kind of scary encounters with those dogs.
Yeah, I would bet.
They sucked.
Yeah. Some dogs suck.
Yeah.
Just like some people suck. Some animals are not, you know, because their owners don't bother to like try and make them sociable.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know how you take care of like five aggressive dogs.
I don't. Yeah. Because then you're outnumbered.
Hard. Yeah, that's right.
And they kind of create this like herd mentality of like, we're going to eat you.
Right. One of them is the alpha.
Right. Not you.
Not you.
What you have to do is get out there and like punch some trees in front of them. Punch these dogs.
Or just be really submissive to them.
Right, right, right. Well, and then that's, you know, this cop.
Yeah.
You would think that he would have just submitted to this.
To the Doberman?
To the Doberman.
No, but he did not, because his cop training kicked in. He
right.
sensed any amount of threat.
And shot it.
And shot it in the fucking head.
Shot it in the head, dude.
It's described in gory detail.
Yeah.
When Karen comes around the back of the house and sees,
yeah,
it's like a watermelon blown open or something.
Yeah,
like
yeah,
that.
Yeah. And then he's also shot.
Yeah, because Joe, we didn't mention Joe yet.
Oh, right. He's like part of the couple that wants to kidnap white babies.
Yeah. You think they're a couple? You think they're together?
No, I think they're partners.
They're just partners. You think they have like SOs that know what they do for a living?
I think that the SOs,
it's like
think,
a Breaking Bad situation.
I think the SOs think that they're cheating on them.
Yeah.
But it's like, no, I'm actually kidnapping white babies.
I'm kidnapping white babies and selling them for $500,000 each.
Yeah. Whoa. Get me some of that cash though.
Right?
$500,000 each in 84? I would take $500,000 each now.
What do you mean you would take it now?
Like if I had babies.
Are we getting
to
into the kidnapping white babies business, Callie?
Yeah, I think we're doing that. Starting now.
Mm-hmm.
Well, so I wonder, okay, if I were to give birth to a baby.
Uh-huh.
Let's say sired by a white man. Because it would have to be, right?
Yeah,
it would
have
to be like majority white.
Right.
Do we think...
Majority white baby.
Yeah.
What could you get for a majority white baby?
Well, because I'm wondering, is my blood too dirty to have my baby be sold into white baby adoption?
Whatever that is. I don't know.
Just, is it passing?
I mean, I think passing, well, because at the adoption stage, okay. Right, at this stage, you can fake any documents you want. You can say whatever
true.
You want about the
okay,
baby.
So what this is what I would do. If I wanted to give birth to a baby that would then be sold for $500,000 into white baby adoption.
Right. We got to get you with like a Proud Boy or something.
I have to be
like
with
the
someone,
whitest
the
white
whitest man.
Man.
Well, because also here's the thing. I do have recessive blue-eyed genes.
Okay.
Because my dad is blue-eyed.
Right.
So I need to find a blue-eyed white man to then impregnate me to then birth a white passing baby. So that way it can be
sold. So that we can
sell
the baby for
$500,000.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, nowadays.
Yeah. Inflation.
Inflation.
What? Yeah. What is the, from 1984 to now, what is... $500,000. Although here's the thing, maybe they can get that price because they've been in this business for
a long
time.
They are fence. They like know.
Yeah, they know who to contact. You and I mean, we're just like going on Craigslist and like seeing who wants to buy a white baby.
Okay, $1.4 million.
Okay, let's do it.
Let's do it. Come on, $1.4 million. Yeah, no, but that's the thing. We'd have to go on Craigslist or something, or you know, we could just go on like the dark web.
Oh,
what's OfferUp? We could go on Facebook Marketplace.
Yeah, we're just there with like a this like white baby here and then like a GameCube. And like those are the two things up on the Facebook Marketplace.
Mostly white baby. I mean, I think we would just pretend that I'm not.
Sure. Yeah. I have to be the face of this thing.
Right. So sure. You, I'm not involved. You found this baby.
I just found him.
Yeah.
Okay. No, you know where we sell this white baby.
Where?
The Citizen app or Nextdoor.
Oh, Nextdoor. Nextdoor for sure, because there's so many NIMBYs on there. They want those white babies. So they would be like, let me have one. Okay.
Yeah. 1.4 mil?
1.4 mil. Well, right. 1.39. But I'm rounding up.
Yeah, round up.
At that point, it's basically 1.4.
Right.
Okay, cool. So
so we got a plan for after this. We got a
plan for that. And then they...
So, yeah, Joe.
Yeah.
That's right. We were talking about Joe.
Oh, yeah. Because they're not a couple.
They're not a couple. That's canon.
Yeah.
And he shoots Wilson, Rob Wilson,
yeah,
in the shoulder.
Yeah.
And tells Karen, Karen's like, is he alive? And Joe's like, if you're talking about the guy who killed my dog, I shot him.
Yeah.
I shot him because he yeah. killed my dog.
Yeah.
He's the bad guy, right?
No, yeah. He came into these a perfectly respectable business.
That's right.
He came in.
Respectable, profitable.
Yeah. No one's really being harmed. I mean, the babies are fine. They're going into adoption. It's not like they're getting hurt.
They have happy families waiting for
they
them.
They are like tranked the entire time.
Yeah, that's true. They are drugged up. Babies are drugged up.
Except for Matt, because he's too cute.
He's too cute. There's some point where she calls that baby a charmer.
Yeah, she's...
It made me uncomfortable.
It reminds me of when people are like, sexualizing oh, ladies, babies. Man.
Yes.
I'm like...
Oh, a little lady killer.
Die, die, die.
Yeah.
Disgusting. So then she's like... Okay.
Captured again.
Captured again. And it's her and like a bleeding out adult cop boyfriend.
Who they don't seem to mind that he's bleeding that much.
No.
Like, and they sit him down on their couch
mm-hmm.
in... this place where they're taking care of babies.
Yeah.
And he's just bleeding everywhere. And yeah. Karen's like, where are the clean diapers? I can patch up this wound.
Yeah.
And they're like, no, we're not doing that.
They're
doing
like,
that.
It's fine.
He's going to bleed everywhere.
Yeah.
And then, you know, it's like, how are our characters going to get out of this? How are they going to outsmart their way? Karen has, we've seen her, right?
Yeah.
MacGyver her way out of a situation like this before.
Yeah. She doesn't have a plastic scarf to burn. So what's she going
to
do?
Nothing. She does nothing.
Guess what? Nothing.
The cops show up.
Surprise.
Surprise.
Deus ex copina.
Yeah. And it's,
thanks for laughing at that. That was maybe a baseline joke.
Well, here's the thing. I'm going to tag it with a similar quality joke.
Okay, great.
Because it's revealed to be a deus ex machina.
Okay, but deus ex machina is very funny. I think deus ex machina is very, very funny.
Because it was just psychic mom.
Yeah, psychic mom.
Who was like, my daughter's going to need help, so I'm calling in an anonymous tip.
Yeah.
And then the cops save the day. And that's the end of the book.
Yeah.
Except for the revelations that we had before of like mom being like, oh, by the way, I was never popular.
All of it was a lie.
All of it was a lie.
I was 18 and I married my 30-year-old husband.
Just like you soon
just
will
like
do.
You will do as well.
So that you can also give birth to the child that you see in your vision.
So the little girl with the blonde hair is the child that she sees. And then this was the other part. So I mentioned the blue eyes thing because it's something that she keeps fucking talking about.
That's right.
So he's like, usually blue eyes are dominant or are recessive, but they're dominant in my family, which I was like, that's not how that fucking works, dude. It's just chance. Like just because like someone in your family has brown eyes, that means they probably have some recessive blue. And then that's how
right.
like,
right.
You know,
no, but he built up the story in his head about like, oh,
mythologizing. Yeah. So he's like, whatever. And then she's like, I wonder who the father of that little girl is because I know it's my daughter. And then the little girl turns around and she's like, oh,
can I read it?
It's really disgusting.
But it was the dream child that Karen stared at in fascination. My little daughter, who will your daddy be?
Ew.
My little daughter, stop. Who will your daddy be?
Ew, stop.
The girl raised her head. For the first time ever, Karen was able to see her eyes. They were blue as a mountain lake, blue as the summer skies of Colorado. They were the strange sort of brilliant, heaven sent blue that might run in one special family as a dominant trait.
There is something eugenicsy about this book.
Yeah, yes. Yes.
Ugh.
Because that's also with the like the family line of the psychic ability too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. This is maybe Lois Duncan's eugenics book. I think you nailed it.
Well, everyone has one eugenics book if you're an author.
Right. Everyone gets one.
Everyone gets one. This
if
is
you
hers.
Do two, people call you out on
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah. But this she gets one.
She got one.
She got one and it was this one.
And she cashed it in pretty late in her career.
Yeah.
So.
Well, because she forgot. She was like, I got to do a eugenics book.
I got to do this fast before my daughter gets killed and I can't write books like this
anymore.
Yes.
So she got it in before the old daughter death. don't mean to be insensitive. That's actually a real person's tragedy. I'd feel bad.
That's true.
And it was really sad.
Well, so let's talk about
that a little bit.
Yeah.
Because, like, it, of course, is very sad. And, you know, the episode where we talked about who killed my daughter is also very sad. I think we all cried at some point.
Yeah.
But so much of that book is Lois Duncan being frustrated with the cops and they can't help her and whatever, whatever. And then turning to psychics.
Yeah.
Like, whatever she was writing here, these are like the seeds of her, like, kind of faith in a psychic to find out what happened to her daughter.
Yes. A lot of the people who reach out to the psychic girl,
mm-hmm.
Karen, are people with missing children.
Yeah.
And it just is so sad that this, you know, that the thing that we know Lois Duncan to think to be the worst thing to happen to somebody.
Yeah.
Right. Is that mm-hmm. your child dies.
Or goes missing.
But, like, specifically, because the main character thinks that this child being dead is too much for her to want to be, keep being a psychic.
Right.
So, like, that is, like, the worst thing to her of this, like, child dying, which, like, is really fucking sad and, like, yeah. really, like, horrible. And then that ends up happening to her.
Yeah. It's like a weird karmic twist.
Yeah.
There's an interview in the back of the updated version with two YA authors, Jessica Morgan and Heather Cox, with Lois Duncan when she was still alive. And, you know, they ask her, you know, just about like, oh, but, you know, first question, let's talk about why you were interested in psychics. And can I read Lois's answer?
Yeah, please.
She says, I got the idea from reading about the Atlanta child murders that occurred between 1979 and 1981. There were, I don't remember how many children who went missing in Atlanta, and the police could not find the abductor, and many psychic detectives offered tips. That was my first introduction. That was the first introduction I had to psychics that could be used by police. It's what was really behind writing this book, the inspiration for it. At the time, I had never met a psychic. I could only imagine what Karen must have been feeling. Since then, I've become all too familiar with the process. As you know, in 1989, my own teenage daughter, Caitlin, was murdered, and when we became frustrated with the lack of resolution on the case, our family turned to psychics for help. I actually met and got to know several professional psychics who work with law enforcement, and their accuracy made me a believer. I hadn't had that experience before I wrote the book.
Ugh.
This is just a fucking interview for, like, the reissue of, like, yeah. a D-tier Lois Duncan novel.
I know.
And they're like, so, talk about your dead daughter.
I know. Straight out the gate.
How the interview starts.
It's, I mean, I guess, obviously she's, I mean, not okay talking about it, but open talking about it, right? She wrote a whole entire book about it.
Right.
And maybe talking about it is helpful, but it is weird. Well, because she also kind of brings it up, right?
Yes.
So then can you imagine being these, like, two YA authors who are just like, so why psychics? And then it's like, oh, maybe I should have done my research.
Well, you but know? She says, as you know, in 1989.
I'm sure that they had a you know, pre-interview thing where they were like, can we talk to you about your daughter?
But it's also like, how do you not? Right?
How do you
like
not? You can't
the
not.
Book is about a psychic yeah. who helps find missing and dead
you
children.
You can't not.
So you, it is, if you're doing the interview, that's what it's about.
Yeah. Yeah. I know. I'm sad that she never got to see the resolution.
Yeah.
Of because that one guy did confess to her
mm-hmm.
daughter's murder.
Yeah.
That's so sad.
Yeah, it is really sad.
Really sad.
It's every time I think about who killed my daughter, mm-hmm. Like, because it's such a, like, desperate, like, at the end of it, there's a naked plea for, like, yeah. if you have any information about this, I've laid out all the details I can, everything that the cops know, everything that psychics have said to me, and, like, literally everything that psychics have said to her. There are, like, transcripts of these long reading sessions that just, like, you know, and there will be a face that's in the aspect of a man that blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's just like, if you know if any of this means anything to anyone, like, reach out.
And it feels so much, you know, like this, I mean, it is. This, like, very sad, desperate, you know, plea by a mother who's lost her child. And it's kind of like shaking your fist at the sky and the unfairness of the universe and kind of like, mm-hmm. how come?
And it's also, it's pulling the one lever of power that she has,
mm-hmm.
that she can write a book, that she can dramatize the situation, that she can get that information into the hands of people who know her writing, right?
And know her writing because a lot of times she writes about shit like this.
Yeah.
Which is like so sad.
But like that's her superpower. That yeah. for that is her yeah. version of being a psychic.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it wasn't enough.
It wasn't enough. Not within her lifetime at least. And really, it wasn't enough at all because the guy that confessed to the murder, he did it just to confess, not like it wasn't like someone found
yes, yes.
information. It was like truly the only
person. We didn't
person,
crack the case is what you're saying.
Right. Me, you, and Lindsay did not yeah. crack the case. The only person who really has the power to reveal who killed her daughter was the killer. And he only did like admitted to it. What, for fun? Because he was bored?
I think he was caught up in other stuff. And
oh, right.
But that was, I don't
was
know.
Was that part of his like plea deal or something?
Yeah, I don't actually have the details about that. But yeah, he was, you know, just a seedy character that was into other shit.
Right.
Picked up by the police for other stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. I would say you don't have to read this one.
Yeah, this is a hard pass for me.
Yeah. It was really boring.
Mm-hmm.
And
quick, though.
It was quick.
Quick read.
Actually, yeah. I was on a plane reading it, and I remember thinking, man, nothing's happening. I'm really bored. But then I was like 3/4 of the way through, and I was like, oh, I guess it's not that bad.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it takes like 2.5-3 hours to read.
It's just like you blink, and it's done, and nothing's happened. and also, there's like icky stuff, like, you know, weird eugenics shit, and like a cop dating a teenager.
Yeah, and even in the updated version, like, there's no changing that.
No.
It's just, this is the adult teen dating eugenics book
yeah.
that Lois Duncan needed to write.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, I would say skip it, but thank you everybody for listening, and thank you so much, Patrick, for joining me.
Thank you for having me.
It's always such a pleasure having you.
Thank you. It is always a delight to do this show. I'm glad that we got to do this in person.
Yeah.
Instead of doing it over the Zoom.
Yeah, we're both sitting
been lounging hard.
I have been...
Your face has been on that backpack.
Yeah, I've been laying on a backpack, like a cat. Like, I've been, like, laying down using the... And you have been going from sitting cross-legged to laying down.
Yeah.
To, like, sitting with your knees up. Now yeah. you're sitting up again.
Yeah.
All of us here.
All of us here.
All of us, too.
Team Creeps.
here have been moving around a lot.
Yeah.
Just in various states of repose.
Yeah. Well, it's a hot day in Los Angeles.
It is.
So we're keeping cool.
Yeah.
We both look very summery.
Yeah. You're wearing a cute little tropical top and like kind of like, I would say bright salmon colored shorts.
Oh yeah. And you're wearing little, like burgundy shorts.
Yeah. I'm wearing like little, like 70s style.
Yeah. Like you're a dad who's out for a jog.
Yes.
Yes.
And also my top is a little bit like dated as well. It's like a ringer.
Oh
tee.
Yeah. It also has that like sort of late 70s, early 80s.
It says Crybaby.
It's a good shirt, Kelly.
Thanks. I don't know what it's referencing, but I like it.
It says Crybaby on it.
It says Crybaby. Awesome. It's funny. I don't know. And I cropped it. So yeah, we're kind of summery right now.
Yeah.
And so that's the summer vibes, which is like going between laying down and sitting up many times.
Yeah. While talking about selling white babies into sexual slavery.
I can't wait to do that plan.
1.4 mil.
Yeah.
Although then we got to split it.
Okay. And then there's also the cost of like, okay, but this is what we have to do.
You got to have the baby.
That's the issue. It's having the baby and also if it's in secret. Because here's the other thing. I cannot go to a hospital to do it.
You cannot.
Because, I mean, my number one reason, the money.
Yeah.
All the expenses are going to go to this hospital.
Well, also, this baby cannot get a social security number.
No, it can't.
It cannot.
So what has to happen is...
We need to meet a doula.
Go in the woods.
Huh?
What? Okay. Meet a doula in the woods.
Okay, great.
And then have that happen.
Yeah.
Okay, great.
We got a plan.
It's easy.
This is going to cost us, though.
Like the emotional toll.
Yeah, but
tremendous.
I'm saying
you mean money.
In terms of money, yeah.
Well, because I'll be eating for two. And I expect you to split the cost of the expenses.
Of course,
with me,
of course, of course.
Because if you're splitting the gains,
I mean,
it's
we'll,
only fair.
We'll, you'll get your cut of, like, that'll come out of your.
Oh, what?
Not out of your cut, it'll come out of the top.
Right.
And then we split. What
yes,
we made.
Yes,
yeah.
yes. Because we'll put all the expenses together and.
That's right.
It's kind of like how we do Teen Creeps income as well. So I'm familiar with the bookkeeping.
Okay, so we'll set up an LLC.
Yeah.
Yeah, it'll be good.
Yeah, it'll be good. But man, yeah, don't read this one. Patrick?
Yes.
Do you have anything that you would like to plug
sure.
besides buying a white baby from us in 9 months?
I mean, let's just like put that on your calendar. 9
months from now, check in.
Check in.
I need to find a guy.
I was
going to
say 10 months. 10 months.
Because give me a month to find somebody who I can just, because I feel like he can't know. He can't know because he's going to want a third of,
No, we are not cutting in another fucking party on this.
We can't cut another fucking person. So he can't know.
Right.
Someone that I can absolutely ghost.
And especially because like we need some like Aryan ass motherfucker.
Yes.
So like, you know, I don't want a white supremacist to in our lives can't benefit financially.
No.
You can check out Nintendo Cartridge Society, which is a fun, wholesome podcast where we talk about Nintendo and fun shit like that.
It was lovely and wholesome.
And thank you, Kelly. We put out 2 episodes a week. One of them is like news, and we're talking about what's going on in the world of Nintendo. And then the Thursday episodes are like goof around fun times where we figure out a fun topic to talk about. And it's a delight, and I love doing it. So check out that show. And then, of course, same day shipping. We recently determined the best Nicolas Cage movie.
Yeah, it was great.
It was a great. The Cage Match was a success.
I loved it.
Yeah, it was the best.
It was the best. Where can everybody find you on socials?
Follow me on Twitter at Patrick_Ehlers. Great. Ehlers is Ehlers.
Yes, it is.
It is.
Thank you everybody for listening. We really, really appreciate you. A very special shout out to our Patreon producers. Thank you, Aaron Fernandez, Adam Howitz, Amanda Kay, Amanda Nangle, Amy T, Ann Dwyer, Brian Petty II, Caitlin L, Carrie Ham, Claire Moore, Courtney McPhail, Danielle LaManna, Danny B, Drew Aranis, Ellie Lagos, Emma M, Aaron B, Gabriela Santiago, Gianna Fernandez, Gwendolyn Ludovic, Jason H, Jeremy Kronk, Jeremy Goodfellow, and Marco Pavlicic, Jessica Smith Harper, Jessica Yu, Jonathan Venable, Saoirse Descaro, Karen Lewis, Kat Miller, Katie Lilly, Katie Olsner, Keith Anderson, Kelly Burns, Carrie N, Kodiak Siegel, Coy, Landry Desmond, Larry Nguyen, Laura Hooper, Mary N, Megan Lozier, Melody, Micah Eunice, Miguel Camacho, Miranda Hester, Molly G, Molly Marks, Noah Spargo, Rachel Bessert, Rashad B, Randy Klett, Rebecca Goss, Rogue Kalahua, Sarah Wallen, Sasha Gibson, Sylvie T, Tristan Buckner, Victoria Beck, Victoria Gray, and Victoria Valdez. Thank you so much. And a special thing, I mean, you know, special, thank you to all of our Patreon listeners. We really, really appreciate you. Patreon.com/teencreeps. We've got a lot of really cool stuff there for you. Again, thank you, Patrick.
Thank you again for having me.
We love having you. You're a very special friend and a lovely guest. And
this is starting to sound less sincere. I don't know why.
No.
the longer it goes on, you light up my life, and we're all luckier to have known you.
I don't know if I've changed for the better, but I've changed for good. All right. We'll see you guys next week. I'm not going to say what we're reading because I'm just not going to look at the calendar. So that's that. I don't know. Stay cool. It's summer.
Look, and maybe if people want to get ahead of it, they can just read as many books as they can.
Read as many books as you can.
Read
right
as
before.
Many books as you can.
All right. We'll talk to you guys next week. Until then, keep it creepy.
Forever Dog.
This has been a Forever Dog production. Executive produced by Kelly Nugent, Lindsay Kaytai, Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. For more original podcasts, please visit foreverdogpodcasts.com. And subscribe to our shows on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Keep up with the latest Forever Dog news by following us on Twitter and Instagram @ForeverDogTeam and liking our page on Facebook.